Welcome to the Digital Forester Podcast, where we talk to foresters about how they are using digital technologies in their day-to-day forestry work. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Digital Forester Podcast. Today, I'm joined by Dave Ginther. He's the owner of voice-directed tally systems. Dave, how are you doing today?
I am doing well, Kevin. How about yourself?
Oh, not too bad. We were joking that you at the start there, you didn't realize there's two Mondays in the week. So it sounded like quite a start to the week, I guess.
Well, it's always exciting. You know, every day is a new day.
Absolutely. So I believe, are we joining you from headquarters in Belleville, Ontario, Canada, or are you on the road?
We are actually in beautiful downtown Belleville, Ontario today.
So I've got to know, it's like we've never chatted before. I know our people have seen each other on the circuit events, but I got to know Belleville. What's the connection? It's not, you know, forestry mecca. I know there's a lot of manufacturing there, you know, obviously technology's everywhere, but I feel like there's got to be a cool story about Belleville, Ontario.
Well, I'm sure I could come up with one. No, Belleville is a great spot. We're actually transplants from Toronto many, many years ago, and came down here for a technology opportunity. And we just decided this was a great place to put down roots. So
absolutely,
that's sort of the story.
Absolutely. Right on the lake there is nice and close by. For those who don't know, Belleville, Ontario, kind of. Well, halfway between Toronto, Ottawa, and Montreal, kind of halfway. I'm using that loosely, not really halfway, but it's in between there, near wine country with Prince Edward County, for those who know the area. Yep, so nice spot, definitely nice spot. So I'm curious to learn about your journey. So looking at your background, doing my research, looks like, and you correct me if I'm wrong, a lot of work in the IT space. Been doing consulting, still doing consulting. So before we go into maybe the forestry technology side, what can you share with our audience about your journey, your background, and how you got to be where you are today?
Yeah, well, as I mentioned when we first connected, I'm more of a tech nerd than I am anything else. And I mean, I started out when desktop computers were first starting to be a little more prevalent. My journey here was basically starting in the office equipment side of things, and computers came into that around mid-80s, that type of thing, and pursued some certifications in Microsoft, got very interested in the IT world itself, branched out on my own into some of the IT consulting, had a great time with that, and that IT consulting actually led me into the industry that we're involved in now. So that's about 20 years ago. So
wow.
It's been a journey for sure.
And so the interest in IT, was that something, you know, you studied, you just always had an interest, or was there an influence somewhere that kind of nudged you, or maybe it was happenstance? You mentioned you moved to Belleville to pursue an opportunity. Was it the confluence of multiple people and smart brains coming together?
Well, as a child, I was always interested in things that could be seen that were unseen. And, started out with looking at photocells when I was a kid and thought, gee, that's a really cool thing to be able to control something by breaking a beam of light. And so that kind of led into what goes on inside those boxes that do all that fun stuff and shows up on the screen. I mean, games are great to see, but what's behind them? That's really where it came from. And then, you know, the whole application of how you help a business with using technology. That's sort of the way that things began for me anyways.
Okay, very cool. Very cool. So I know with voice-directed tally systems, I'm gonna treat myself as the newbie. When you joke, you know, we're a tech nerd, I'm like, I love those. I'm one of those as well. So that's all cool. But for our audience who may not be as familiar with the use cases you target, I'm gonna take one for the team and ask all the mundane questions. So maybe introduce us to voice directed tally system, less so the IT consulting side. I do have some questions that I want to kind of come full circle to how these different technologies marry together and maybe what patterns or trends you see in the landscape. But in terms of the technology that you folks have innovated, it's pretty cool. But maybe introduce us to what this thing is and what it's meant, what problems it's meant to solve.
Sure. And again, I'll give you a little background. As I mentioned, it was more on the consulting side that this whole thing came out. I was actually on a job up in the Ottawa Valley in the Renfrew area. And I got a call from an enterprising young software developer who was looking for some expertise in wireless. So we got together and we started talking about what he was doing. And he had come up with this concept of using voice to gather data, specifically on the green chain inside a mill where people are actually grading lumber. So I looked at that and I thought, that's a very interesting thing to be thinking about. We put our heads together and we decided we'd start a venture. Unfortunately, things did not work out well for him personally. So after a couple of years, we decided we're going to roll the dice and just see how things roll from here. As far as the technology goes, we started with a hardware manufacturer by the name of Vocollect. Vocollect has since been acquired by Intermec, which was then acquired by Honeywell. So now we have a $54 billion company that provides this hardware, which is, it's kind of cool to know there's that depth behind it. They use a product called the Talkman, and the Talkman was essentially a voice recognition engine. And we decided that we should build on the original capabilities that we'd put in place for grading and kind of move that out into other areas. So we build the software to run on hardware that has that voice recognition engine. And approximately 6 years ago, we ran into a new product that had some very, very interesting characteristics and capabilities. Went far beyond what the Talkman could do. We now got into the point of having a visual reference so that you could actually see the software that you were working with, getting audible, you know, responses and seeing as you're putting your data in, the responses on the screen and so on. And it was completely independent of having to be connected to any kind of a network. So this was a great product for us. We discovered that at the Augmented World Expo back in 2017, I guess it was. So that was kind of exciting to find that. And we changed our platform over from the Honeywell side over to the RealWear side. And that's what we're working with now. So as I mentioned, about 20 years we've been at this. It's been an interesting journey to see how things change. The interesting thing about working from inside the mill and then getting out to the log yard and finally out to the forest is that it's an industry that has a tendency to invest in a technology and then hang on to it and make it work as long as they possibly can. So it's given us some long-term clients, and we're pretty happy with the way things are right now.
Awesome. Awesome. Very cool. So maybe for our listeners who don't understand grading, can you describe what it is? And can you also describe how folks, I was going to say used to do it, but I suspect there's folks who are still used to doing it, and you offer a different way of doing it, a more modern, maybe intuitive, better human computer interaction. But can you answer those questions? Maybe what is grading and how are people doing it, and why you're how yours is that much more different?
Sure. Well, I mean, grading is the process of both measuring and valuing lumber. It's also applied the same way to logs and also applied the same way to trees. But within the mill, once boards have been run through the saw and created, a lumber grader will basically be looking at that. They will measure each board, then they will assign a grade to that board based on the value. We see a lot of hardwood floors, for example, and typically a grade of one common is the type of thing that would be applied to boards that are used for hardwood flooring. But for furniture, there may be a higher grade that is applied. And the grader basically goes through it. It's an interesting process for them in terms of education. They have a 14-week training course that they go through with the Hardwood Lumber Manufacturers Association. And that allows them to get that expertise in terms of looking at something and saying, where can this actually fit to the best possible use? And if it's a board that has high grade, obviously it has more value. And if being able to make decisions as they're going through and looking things, it's a pretty important position for someone inside the mill. They really do control a lot of the valuation there. Traditionally, the way that they would record their information would be on what we call a tally book. So they would have actually a book in one hand with a pencil, and in the other hand, they would have their grading rule. And the grading rule has a measurement process on it. They would measure the board, then they would notate on the tally sheet as to what that board actually fit in terms of grade and measurement. Obviously, a very manual process, and then that data obviously has to be dealt with again with some kind of manual transposition. So our concept was, instead of using something that is manually necessary for gathering data, why not use your voice? And the grader then now can just actually speak in his measurement and his grade, have that confirmed in his earpiece, and then carry on to the next board. That information is transferred into digital information immediately and available for real-time manipulation or reporting. Typically, the systems inside of a mill are a real-time system. So you can actually watch a load of lumber being built as the grader is going through his process. And the benefits, obviously, with voice are you have less in your hands and you're able to focus on your work, and you don't tend to drop things or have your pencil break and, you know, all that fun stuff that goes on.
Yeah, absolutely. Very cool. Very cool. And so I'm imagining that as you started introducing some of the Honeywell technology and the RealWear technology, that this was just a walk in the park. Every forester just embraced it without any question, right?
Yes, and which is why I spent all of my time on a beach in Florida. Yeah,
absolutely. The big yacht is in Lake Ontario, 60-foot yacht waiting for you. Yeah, I know how you roll, Dave. I know how you roll. But maybe talk to me about the early days as you were starting to explore this space. I'm going to assume, just foresters being foresters, that getting them to embrace something new or something different than how they've always done it requires maybe a certain skill set, a certain finesse, a certain level of patience. But what can you share about the early days as you ventured into this space of digital transformation, truthfully, much earlier on?
Yeah. Well, back in 2003, we decided that it would be great to go and talk to our fellow Canadians, because, you know, you want to have customers who are in your own country. And so we organized a trip and we went right across the country. And the overwhelming response was, that is really cool. You let us know when somebody buys one of those.
So true.
Yes. So what we found is that there is a difference between the Canadian and the American point of view when it comes down to embracing technology. It just seems that as Canadians, we tend to be, you know, very polite and somewhat reticent, and, you know, we're very good at apologizing. Going down to the U.S., we found that people are willing to make decisions probably at a faster pace. And as a result, we started to focus on more on the hardwood lumber manufacturing side of things. And that's really where our base began to grow. We have, fortunately, a number of customers in Canada. So, I mean, that this is good. But I would say like 90% of our clientele is in the U.S. And there's just a little bit of a difference for that.
No kidding.
Whatever happens at the border.
Yeah, no kidding. That's amazing. And is there a split in terms of, you know, the board grading versus log grading, or is it kind of all over the place?
There is probably what we would say is, in the mill operations, we're probably about 50%, and that would include both inside the mill and in the log yard, and the other 50% would be in the forestry side of things. So it's a pretty even split. Right now, it seems that log scaling is a bigger portion. At least that's what the activity level that we're at right now. And that's kind of exciting.
Yeah, I know. I was out on a trip, one of my usual trips, and someone was asking for a log scaling solution, and then I said, "Oh, just call Dave over there." It's like they've already got something. They've been running for a while. No need to reinvent the wheel here, folks. It's like just place a call. So definitely have sensed more of a request on that front. And so thinking of this technology, part of me, I want to joke for those who are watching the YouTube stream. I've got this cyborg implant. You got to shove into your eyeball, and this is how the technology works. I am joking. That is not the case. But maybe describe the form factor for us so that we can get a mental picture of this thing. Like, are they glasses? Are they like an earpiece, or how what is this thing?
Basically, what we're using is it's called a Navigator 500, and it's made by RealWear, and it is a Android device that, if you were to look at it, it's in the shape of a horseshoe so that it'll fit around the side of your head. It also has an articulating arm to the front of it that hosts a monocle for actually giving you vision of the software. So it's a very lightweight device, maybe 280 grams. So it can be worn on a hard hat, it can be worn on a ball cap, or it can be worn on a headband. And it just allows you to have a little dashboard below your eye. As you speak in, you see what happens on the software. You get audible confirmations. You have a camera. You can take photos or videos. So it's a pretty cool Android device. Think about what you can do with a tablet. You can pretty much do everything with that using the headset and navigating everything by voice.
Very cool, very cool. And so when we think about 280 grams in weight, for the layperson like me, is that light? Like, as a worker, would like an 8 hour shift, 12 hour shift be problematic for them with like some strain, thinking of the ergonomics, is something anything on your head or face? Or is 280 grams nothing that you don't need to be an Olympian or go through a 12-week training, fitness training, sprint to be able to use this.
No, you will definitely not develop muscle network neck muscles in your neck for that. That's for sure. It's very light, and so you can. It's made for full shift. We have people who wear it for between 8 and 12 hours a day. So, is ergonomically, it's one of those things that kind of fits with what you do. It's not something that's obtrusive or that you really are aware of because of its weight.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Very cool. And so I'm just asking these questions, like, because I know there's listeners out there that are going to be trying to connect the dots on what this thing looks
Sure.
like, what it's able to do. And so thinking of what a user would see, tell me more about the software. Is this something the Forrester for the problem, I shouldn't say problem, for the application that they're using for, is this something they set up themselves, or is it largely something you folks, through services, professional services, set up for them, or is it just like one version and it kind of does it all for people? What can you tell me about the software that the user would see? What's it look like? Is it black and white, monochrome? Is it color?
Oh, it's a full color screen. It's the equivalent of looking at a 7-inch tablet at arm's length. So everything that's on the screen is very visible, very easy to see. As far as our software goes, we have 7 different applications. We have a specific timber cruising application, and that application allows you to set up your cruises either manually, or you could actually import shape files or plots and so on from ArcGIS. You can select up to 25 different data points that you can really capture data on. It allows you to utilize the camera so that you can take photos of something that may be pertinent to you, and that GPS information is then part of the metadata for the photo. Then we can export out to a variety of different programs for inventory management. We've really focused on trying to make it more of a boots on the ground device so that for the specific purpose of gathering data while you're in the forest. As far as other applications go, we have a couple of generic applications. One's called Voice Excel and one's called Voice Select. They both give you the option of utilizing either a pre-formatted Excel spreadsheet that you can import and then just populate by voice. Or with Voice Select, you can create your own data points and your own data types, and everything again driven by voice to gather that data. One of the cooler things we've done, we utilized the headset to fly drones. It's kind of cool. We had the wonderful advantage of having an intern come to us from the University of Guelph 2 years ago. And we gave him this project and he did a bang up job on it. So it allows drone pilots to keep your eyes in the sky. And it's kind of cool.
Very neat. Very neat. And so when we think about this technology, like just in that statement, a lot there that I want to unpack, because you talked about, timber cruising. So different use cases than log or lumber scaling. Immediately, we know someone who's listening to this is going to say, yeah, but Dave, it's like, I work in a rugged, dirty environment, and like, how long is this thing going to last? Because if I got to charge it like every 2 hours, this is useless to me. And like, and there's background noise and stuff like that. Like, how rugged is this thing? What can you tell those folks that are thinking that way about the art of the possible with your technology?
Sure. The headset itself, basically battery runs 8 to 10 hours runtime. It's a hot swappable situation. So if you do have a low battery, it's merely a case of pressing a button and replacing the battery. You don't have to power down the device. It's made as a rugged device, IP66 rated, which means it's sealed for water incursion. It's sealed for dust incursion. We always like to tell the story of when we were at the 2019 SAF. We had opportunity to do one of their innovation zones. And so we started up taking a video with one of our headsets, and then we placed it in a bowl of water. And we did our presentation with PowerPoint for maybe 15, 20 minutes. And we came back to the bowl of water and pulled out the headset, and it was still recording the video. So we can pretty much say that's waterproof. It does meet the military 10G spec in the U.S. for ruggedness, so it can be dropped from 6 feet onto polished concrete at minus 20 and so on. And as far as noise, it is rated up to 100 decibels of ambient noise. Now, we tested it in our environment. We have a diesel generator in the building that we are in. It has an output that is about 106 decibels. So we stood beside that for about 5 minutes, which was about your limit, and we were 99% accurate in terms of voice recognition. So it's a rugged device made for industry, and it's been through a lot, and it'll stand up to a lot over a long period of time.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like technology that's looking to be proven, as opposed to it's been in use for several years with real case studies that demonstrate the value. And so you mentioned it's basically running the Android operating system. So again, in the spirit of me being the layperson, 7-inch tablet at arm's length. So can I load any Android tablet I want and it'll work by default? Or is it really VDTS or voice directed Tally system software that's tuned for this particular hardware?
I'll answer that in two parts. Can you load any Android application? Yes, you can. Will they all work? Not necessarily. Our expertise is in the voice side of things. So we're able to take applications and make them voice driven. So you may find that if you have a very simple Android application, that the built-in software will recognize most of the data points, and then you can make that operational. But if you get into things that we have things like drop-down lists, that becomes much more complex, and that's where voice enabling really becomes more important.
Right. And so I'll ask this one and see where it goes. But Dave, je parle français. Est-ce que ça fonctionne en français aussi? And for those who are listening, I basically asked Dave, like, does it work in French? Or other languages?
Well, the device itself in its native form supports 17 different languages.
Wow.
It's a lot. Our software is written in English. So we do have some interpretations where we've done for Spanish, and we have not tackled French yet, but we do speak Southern as well.
I love it. We do speak Southern. Perfect. Love it. Love it. Love it. Hopefully there's a couple of you listening right now having a chuckle at that one. I know you, I know who you are, and yes, laugh away. And so very, very neat. And so when we're thinking about this technology, I'm just going to stay on this topic a little bit more, then I'm going to pull you in a different direction, maybe broader themes. Is there a memorable, when you started to where you are now, is there a memorable story you could share now of the early days that you just kind of, it just brings a smile, and then another story where you are now that may bring, hopefully bring you a smile, but maybe for different reasons. Are there two stories that maybe have analogies or similarities, or maybe are contrasting from the before you started doing this versus where you are now?
Yeah, well, I've told you two of the stories that are generally the ones that come to mind when we talk to people about how we started and then how we changed over our technology. We've had so many good conversations, so many good relationships that have been built out of this. It's really hard to narrow down. I would say that when we go to trade shows, those are the places that we end up having a really good time, because it's generally focused when we meet with students, and the students will come and they'll put this device on, and they, you know, again, a generational thing, I'm sure, but it's like, this is cool. And that is probably the words that we have heard most over the years on the technology. This is cool. And it's really great to hear that. But beyond that, and I guess I'm not helping you too much here with having the stories, but yeah, I would say those are really our highlights more than anything.
Very cool. Very cool. And so maybe if I kind of take you down a different direction, I'm curious to hear your thoughts. Cause again, you're obviously, you know, you understand IT, and nowadays, even though if you're a digital forester, as an example, you got to have some digital skills, maybe not full blown IT, but the workforce of tomorrow, or even near term, if you will, they're different workers, just as you mentioned, students saying this is cool versus someone more mature in the environment, in the workplace, might be like, yeah, Dave, forget it, like, never doing this. I have my own special way of doing things. But from when you started and this journey, are there definitive, I was going to say technology trends, but I might want to push you more on the IT, the information technology side. Are there certain IT trends or patterns that you've seen, and are they cyclical in nature, that, you know, every 10 years this thing rears its head? But from you, when you started doing this to now, it's like, what can you share on that, on your observations from a maybe an IT consultant or an IT expert?
Sure. Well, again, when we started in this, and the technology that we were using was very niche. There were very few players who were really involved in the space that we were in. As a result, it had this longevity to it more than anything else. The changes that took place back in 2017, moving away from a proprietary operating system into something that was more generally available, that opened up a lot of opportunities with us at that point. Thinking of what the changes are, I would say the big thing that we've seen, right, and it's more or less rearing its head again now, I had mentioned earlier how the lumber industry likes to hang on to things. And most of the products that we see right now that are in use, that are handheld products, are still the legacy Windows CE products. And we are now at a place where that has to be addressed. And as a result, moving into the Android world is certainly, I think it's a preferable step, but I mean, there are options, but that's the way that we've focused. So anyways, getting to that Android stage. That's also opened up the opportunity for us to expand what we do, not only on the voice side, but also on the handheld side. And while we've always been voice oriented, and that's certainly what our flagship is, we now offer hybrid models where we can have a mixture of voice and handheld. Again, using a system that is essentially more generally accepted and probably will have a fairly long life. I hope I've answered that question for you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's just getting your thoughts on trends and whatnot. There's no right or wrong answer with this guy. And you mentioned the RealWear technology was at an augmented reality conference. So when we think about virtual reality and augmented reality, you know, in this case, less VR, because, you know, it's purely synthetic, or maybe mm-hmm. more on the AR augmented reality. There was press about, you know, the HoloLens one. You know, I played with a dev kit version. It was heavy, tiring to mm-hmm. wear, low battery, but it was a dev kit, so you kind of expected it. Then you had the HoloLens, and then even HoloLens 2 and other constructs, if you will, different players paint in that AR space. What does AR mean to you and your business, since your form factor is different than a full on, you know, HoloLens on your head. But are there parallels? Are there real differences, the way you look at AR for your business?
Well, I mean, AR, we're talking in our terms as assisted reality. So we're looking at this as, are we presenting digital information to people in front of their eyes while they're in the real world? Yes, we are. Is it the same type of experience as you would have with, say, a pair of glasses that are AR enabled? No, it's not. It is completely different because we're really using things that are more of a dashboard as opposed to something that is always in your line of sight. And in both cases, whether we're talking about VR or AR, totally disregarding Gartner's hype, you know, that goes along with that, what their hype cycle is, we are still in the infancy. You know, what we're looking at today is not what we're going to be seeing in 5 years for sure. I would have to say, though, with RealWear's product, they are probably the most accepted industrial device worldwide compared to all of the other efforts that have gone in. And there's some really cool technology out there that that probably has opportunities to be looked at, twisted, turned, you know, improved, made a little bit better. But having said that, when it comes down to our clientele, they're not really looking at the label of AR or VR. They're just looking at, is this a tool that's going to help me to do my job? And that's really what we've come to the understanding of anyways. And we'd love to, you know, fly the flag saying, wow, you know, we have AR capable equipment and our software is super and all the rest. But the bottom line is, does it work for me and does it help me in what I need to do?
100%. I was in fact just talking to a few colleagues today where, you know, I was talking about user experience and UI. And I said, you know what, at the end of the day, it's great. You got to have a great product, but the fundamental question is, does it work and does it make that forcer's job easier? And if it's yes, then it's a recipe for a win there. Now, you've obviously followed the trends with Google Glass and other things like that. What are your thoughts on that and why that obviously failed or maybe didn't take off as intended, but share some of your thoughts on that space. Do you think it's the invasion of privacy or lack thereof, maybe on the privacy front? Was it the form factor? You and I both wear glasses. I'm used to it. You know, some folks probably don't. Like, what are your thoughts on that whole space of wearables? Because your form factor is unique and obviously, to your point, works for the space that you're targeting. But for maybe looking into the future, like, is there just something fundamentally flawed with glasses and invokes or maybe evokes a certain, I don't know, primal reaction to glasses? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. Well, people who wear glasses have always suffered from that, haven't they? You know, I think there was a fundamental error on Google's part when they introduced the Google Glass, and that was talking too much about the camera, because that was where the privacy issue became number one. I don't want my picture taken. I don't want to be on video without my permission. And it was more a perception that this thing has a camera. It must always be on. I'm always going to be in a position of having to say, no, I don't want that to be part of what I do or what you're doing. So that's my personal thoughts on that. In terms of where the technology goes from here, I think we're going to get away from the glass idea. My thoughts is that we're going to get to the point of having some kind of hologram projector, whether it's probably body worn or who knows, maybe it even be part of our clothing. We've talked about technology and its changes. Wearable technology can take many, many different forms. And right now we seem to be focused on what perches on our noses, but other opportunities exist, and that's what I see happening. So it gets everything away from your face and it becomes a 3D world for you.
Yeah, I think, you know, time will tell. Obviously, in the news recently, you know, I've seen ads for The company is named called Humane, and they have a device that basically has a camera, it has a projector, and you can interact with it, but it's running a large language model, so you can talk to it. Like, and the demos I've seen is like, hey, should I eat this cookie? And this device will say that, well, no, Dave, it's like, you know, you're on a caloric deficit reduction diet, you shouldn't be eating this. And this device was getting flamed by one of the reviewers, and it was too hot, it wasn't working. And so I think, yeah, you know, while some people are very rosy and optimistic about the future, there's probably still a ways to go. You're in uncharted territories here, getting the right form factor and things working flawlessly, because you and I both know our Foresters would wear it for a whole 5 second and then throw it,
Gone.
gone, magically lost, right? I don't know where that went. So the other question I wanted to poke at was to understand is, like, with the voice recognition side of things, you mentioned you've been doing this for 20 years, so well in advance of, you know, the AI, I don't want to say hype cycle, there's stuff there obviously, but whatever, you know, curve we're on. Because I always remember back in my grad school days, you know, writing a neural network. We didn't call it AI, we didn't care at fancy words. It was like, you're trying to code a neural network. That's what it was. But today the landscape's very different. AI, you mentioned that everyone gets all crazy. What does AI mean for you and your business? Is that something that was core to your technology, that's AI powering the voice recognition, where we had a large language model built before anyone even started using LLM jargon. What does AI mean to you?
Well, I think in specific application for us, it would be more in the voice recognition side. I mean, right now we have an engine that is capable of operating without having to be trained, which is, you know, compared to where we started, is a huge step forward. But I would say that, you know, having the capability to pick up nuance and context is probably where we're going to see things go forward on in terms of recognition. Beyond that, I haven't really spent a great deal of time focusing on AI. I think the voice recognition side is probably, at least in our niche right now, is probably where the application lies. There's probably much, much more that's beyond my scope, and I look forward to seeing what other people come up with because, you know, new tech is always exciting.
For sure, for sure. And so maybe if we look forward like 10 years out, and maybe I'm taking you into the uncomfortable zone, it's too far into the future, but based on your work to date over 2 decades, right? You and I both know it's like some things change, and yet some things don't change or have not changed. But if I take your thinking out 10 years, and what does voice-directed tally systems look like 10 years out from now? What are you doing? Is it more of the same, or are there certain things in terms of your mission and your vision that you still want to crack and address?
Yeah, we've essentially always been boots on the ground. I see that that may change. I can't say that it's part of our business plan at this point in time, but it certainly is in the realm of, you know, let's do some blue sky stuff. But yeah, envision that you're, you know, the forester now, instead of, you know, being out in the forest, now he's sitting at his desk and he has both drone and robot, and he's driving those. He's basically getting all the information he needs to get, probably at a faster rate, probably at a higher degree of accuracy than what is available to us today. And he doesn't have to leave the office. Now, maybe that's not a good thing, but it could be that, you know, brain cells could be used for other things. But those are some of the potentials that I see. Whether we'll be in that space or not is another question. I remember talking to one of the profs from Purdue. And he said that in his estimation, what is happening now is that typically we would have the generalist who's out in the forest and the specialist back in the office. He says, I see that changing. He said, I think I see the specialist out in the forest and the generalist in the office. So I've always had that in the back of my mind since I had that conversation. And there's probably some credence to it, but worth giving it some thought.
Yeah, interesting, interesting. It'll be great to, you know, if folks listening, you have some thoughts on that, feel free to post some comments there in whatever form you're listening to. That's interesting. Never thought of it from that point of view. And so maybe on maybe my last questions on this theme of technology, are there certain mega trends, you know, that you're really watching, maybe less so from like the business point of view, but just as the tech nerd, watching things unfold, just sort of like, wow, that's just super cool what's happening today. Is there something that's on your radar there?
I can't say anything specific at this point. I mean, AI obviously is getting all of the press right now. I've always had an eye open to what can we do, how can we do more with less? So that, I guess, as a general focus is what I look at. I can't say that there's anything that's captured my attention to say, yeah, that's the path that we should really, really be pursuing. But again, once things settle down with AI, it's going to be interesting to see what else pops up.
Right. And I know you mentioned with bring us back to VDTS. I know you mentioned, North America is like your sweet spot. Are there any patterns geographically in terms of maybe faster adoption in other countries or maybe more resistance to adopting this technology? Are there certain trends or patterns like from a spatial point of view that you see?
More again, industry is interesting because they have their own patterns, they have their own cycles that they go through and whatnot. Again, more in the United States, things tend to be adopted at a quicker rate. There's no question. We have branched out a little bit in terms of what we do into the agricultural market, and as a result, we have some connections and some clients in the Netherlands and in Belgium, in Brazil and in Argentina. And they're again more focused on how do we gather data for the agricultural sector. A lot of the emphasis there, though, is also shifting to drones. So that's more of the trend that we see in there. But beyond that, again, anything that's going to change, I think we'll see change take place first in the US and then it'll go out from there.
Right. So thinking of a digital forester who's listening to this and curious and wanting to try this technology, first question is there anything around costs that you can provide on the air, whether ballpark or is it one of those, it depends? And then the second question is, yeah, Dave, I fit the, I'm just a small shop. I don't have a lot of IT resources. What do I need? Versus, I'm a large, enterprise customer, and I've got to have, SOC 2 compliance for cybersecurity. Like, what do I need to satisfy there? But maybe those two questions: what can you share about costs, and then what does the ideal customer profile for you? What do they need to bring to the table to be ready to fully embrace this technology?
Yeah. Well, as far as pricing goes, if we're looking at timber cruising, we tend to package that with a headset and accessories for $4,500 US. So it's an easy step really into the market to give yourself something that gives you hands-free operation. When it comes down to the larger organizations, we do meet the necessities for security. It's one of the things actually, one of our clients, that would have been a good story to tell you. Yeah. One of our clients who shall remain nameless basically had some issues with their cybersecurity insurance because of still relying on Windows CE. And that was an interesting, motivator to make things go forward. Anyways, but yeah, as far as enterprise goes on the security side, we definitely meet all of the requirements for that at the enterprise level. A typical client for us is really someone who just is looking to get their hands free. That's really what we try and present most of all in terms of what we do. Our latest marketing campaign is Keep Your Gloves On. So.
Very cool, very cool. So we don't need to bring like a ginormous server to power this thing and incur,
No,
bajillion.
typically, again, because we're talking about boots on the ground for most of things, we don't deal with the back end inventory. We don't necessarily deal with all of the GIS at the front end. We're the guy that's in the middle for the guy who's going to be in the forest and he needs to get his data. That's where we fit.
Right. And the cost structure you announced, is that following like hardware, software, then maintenance fee, or is it more of a subscription thing that goes forward through time?
We always like to go with a perpetual license on the software. And that is that more or less came out of the lumber industry for the reticence about monthly fees. But we do offer support packages as well, and they're ongoing and provide you with software updates as well as covering any hardware issues. So
Right.
we try to give a full package for you.
Right. And so I know when we started, you mentioned the start of the journey was with this other individual and things didn't go quite as well. Are you still, do you still speak with this other individual and able to show, you know, hey, we had this vision, you know, this is where we are now. And obviously there's always speed bumps when you're starting off, you know, developing a new product, trying to go to market, but out of curiosity, is there still that relationship? And if so, you know, what's the view from that other side?
Yeah, it would be nice if that was the case, but we haven't been in touch with one another for quite a number of years.
So as we look to wind down, Dave, I'm one of the things, you know, as I'm listening to you talk, and we always hear in the workplace, you know, shortage of labor and the workforce, and this sounds like what you've developed is just like a no-brainer to, as you said, keep your gloves on and streamline efficiency, focus on the task at hand. I'm wondering for maybe the younger generations that are coming through and in general entering this field in these spaces that you're targeting with your solution, is there a certain pro tip that you would give them or Foresters, maybe gray hair or not, some pearls of wisdom?
Well, again, not being a forester is not the may not be my place to do that for foresters. However, one of the things we always tell folks, especially the students that we deal with, is like learn the fundamentals. I mean, don't get caught up in the tech. The tech is really supposed to be transparent. It's supposed to be something that helps you, but not becomes your focus. So, learn the fundamentals, focus on that, and the tech is always going to be there to support you.
For sure, for sure. So I guess as we look to wrap up, Dave, for those who want to reach you, and whether it's, you know, to purchase, whether to learn more information, what's the best way folks can get a hold of you?
Well, we have our website available at vdts.ca. You can get me by email at dave@vdts.ca. And, 613-767-9630. You'll get a variety of people who will answer that call.
For sure, for sure. And I know you guys are very active on the event circuit, or at least from what I've seen in social media, you've been bouncing around, you know, West Coast, East Coast, you know, wherever you gotta go. So I'm sure folks can find you on the circuit as well. So hey, I wanted to take a moment and just thank you genuinely. You know, I was excited to chat with you because I actually didn't know very much about this space and the technology you developed, and super cool. And I can already think of, you know, tons of use cases for it, not just in forestry, but truthfully in other sectors and industries. But I suspect you're already on the ball, and just a matter of time and what you want to take on, I suppose. But definitely wanted to thank you for carving out some time. And yeah, closing thoughts, I'll leave with you if there's anything you wanted to share with the audience.
Well, I just wanted to say thank you for this opportunity. It's great. It's nice that we were able to connect, and certainly would love to meet you in person and see where that goes as well.
100%. Well, Belleville is only a 3-hour drive, depending, maybe it's a 2.5-hour drive, depending how fast you go down that 401. So definitely, yeah, we'll find a time to connect there. So thanks so much, and wishing you all the best, and looking forward to meeting in person one day.
Okay, thanks, Kevin. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Dave.